Be in the book of Proverbs again this evening, in Proverbs chapter 6. This is a, I preached, when we were here last time, and preached a message on a series I'm kind of doing on things I skip in the Scriptures, hard passages that as we go through and we read them, those of us in our ministry sometimes just kind of scratch our heads, say, I don't really understand this or understand what it's talking about, kind of pass over it to go to the easy ones, and kind of going back through those and trying to dig into them and find out what it is that God has in those passages, because every word of God is inspired and is God's word, and it's important for us. And so this is not so much just a one that I don't understand the passage, I just... there's several places and a concept here that kind of, when I'd read it, I just kind of like, I don't know about that. And so there's actually going to be three different places we're going to read here at the beginning, and then you'll kind of see where it all fits together. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, it says this, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." And the next passage we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read it when I get there. So if you're not there yet, go ahead and just catch up. But Acts chapter 5, the first 11 verses. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered and her unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." And the last passage we're going to look at is right at the very end in the book of Revelation, and chapter 21. Just one verse there in verse 8. The Word of God says this, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love to us. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what it has for us this night. I pray if there's lost again this night that they might, that are among us or listening online, that they might come to Christ this very day, and that those of us that are saved would draw from your word, that your Spirit would speak to every heart and help us to live our lives better and more pleasing to thee. Thank you for your love for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what do these three passages have in common? You may have figured it out. If you go, we'll be mainly back in Proverbs chapter 6 again. There's something in here that lists a whole bunch of terrible things, and then something that, to my mind, really isn't that bad. It says here in the passage, it says, "These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Now, the idea of something that's abominable is something that God hates. And the thing here, and we talked about this morning, how if we want to be in the fear of the Lord, if we want to live pleasing to Him, we've got to learn to hate what God hates. And so here it says that these seven things are an abomination. These are seven things that God hates, seven things that really, if you want to be walking with God, you need to learn to hate. And a lot of them we can just simply agree with. We go through and we look at a proud look, okay, a lying tongue, okay, and hands that shed innocent blood, yep, that's definitely, you know, some murderer, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, okay, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, but I look at this and I see this whole thing about lying.
I
know it's, and the Bible says we're not, to be lying, but does it rank up there with murder? Is it something that's as bad as someone who would come into a church like this and come in and sit down and then start spreading rumors around and start sowing discord among the brethren, try to tear up the church? Is it as bad as somebody who is always looking around for wickedness and trying to find ways to destroy society or destroy their home? Is it as bad as someone who is haughty and proud? We know what the Bible says about proud looks and being proud and arrogant and haughty. Is it as bad as those things? I mean, when I think about Ananias and Sapphira, I mean, the church was just starting out and they're in Jerusalem. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit and everybody's excited and everyone's got, hey, I want to help take care of everybody. So I've got a piece of property and so I'm going to sell it. And I sold it for $1,000, let's say, and I'm giving it to the church. Well, that's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. And someone else says, yeah, well, I've got this car over here. I'm going to sell it and give the money to the Lord and let Him do whatever He needs to help take care of the church. And I'm like, oh, that's, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. And someone says, well, I've got a cow here and I can sell it. I got $700 for it and I've got some bills to pay. So I'll give $500 to God. I mean, that sounds pretty good. But everyone else is giving everything. Well, I got, yeah, okay. Here's what we sold it for, and here it is. And God said no, and took their lives. And all those things that are in the book of Revelation, of those that are going to be in the lake of fire and abominable people and whoremongers and murderers and all those things, and it says all liars. Even going through and early studying these things, I'm like, well, I wonder if there's something deeper in there. I wonder if there's something else that's a little more in depth than what we're really seeing here, other than just, someone who's a liar. But I really can't find anything. An abomination is the strongest word that we have in the Scriptures to talk about something detestable. And it's something that makes the stomach churn, something that makes you just physically ill. If you've ever had an experience where you've gone somewhere where it was just a horrible situation. We've had some, when I was working with the sheriff's department up in Indiana as a chaplain, I had to go do death notifications. I had to show up on a scene and where there were horrible things that happened. And you talk to anybody in the medical profession, or you talk to, there's things they don't talk about, or people in the military, things that they see that they just not going to talk about, no matter how much you want to pry, because it's just not. Right. You just don't want to. You don't really want to know. You don't really want to hear. And there was a. I think back the best description I have in my that I think about when I think of abominations is when I was in Indiana. There was a pastor friend of mine that lived up on a farm, and he had free rent, kind of, but his job was to take care of a man that was in his 40s or 50s that had about the mentality of about a 12 or 13 year old, and he was a ward of the state, and so his parents had been very wealthy, and they passed away. There was no heir other than him, and so the state was taking care of him, had all this money, and he had several properties, so they let the pastor stay in one and just kind of keep tabs on him. And one day they came to him and said, we need you to go. The guy's name was Bobby. He said, you need to go to Bobby's house. We walked in there and it's just a pit. We need you to help clean it up. And so my wife and I were up visiting, and we said, we'll go help you, clean it up. I said, no, you don't have to. You don't understand. I said, that's okay. We'll go. And we went over to Bobby's house. Now, Bobby had a couple of cats. One was Stupid. I don't remember really know his name, but the other one was Fluffy. And I remember Fluffy. I don't remember the other cat's name. I just call it Stupid because if you're a cat person, I'm sorry. But there were these cats, and Bobby would just let the cats use the whole house as a litter box. And never cleaned anything, never did anything, and he was everything had to be in the exact same place. You couldn't move anything. And so we went in there, but before we walked in the house, that was just the stench of urine and feces just permeated the whole building. And out in the shed, though, is where Bobby would put the cat food cans. Now, Bobby would take the cat food, he would open it up, and he would, the bowl was down on the ground, he would just dump it from about here. Of course, it would kind of splash wherever. And he would go out to I don't want to say genkan, that's a Japanese word, the entryway slash room that he had, and he would just take those cans and throw it, and literally this room was probably, I don't know, maybe 15 by 15 room, and fence or closed in, and it was probably, and I no kidding, no joking aside, it was probably about 4 foot high full of cat food cans. And so we got shovels and started shoveling these cat food cans into this bag and another bag. And the stench was horrific as there were maggots and all sorts of things crawling around in there. And once we got down towards the bottom of that can, all those cans in the pile, there was a freezer that was full of beef that had gone, and the freezer compressor had gone out. And then we got down, there was a six-pack box of Coke or something. And in the bottom of that, in the middle of that was Fluffy. Fluffy was no longer alive and had been in some state of decay for some time. When we left there and got it all done, after doing the best we could, we went over to the house and we got in the shower. And if you've ever been anything kind of like that, you can just feel the grime and the stench of it all flowing off of you. And that is an abomination. And that's what God thinks about lying. Matter of fact, he tells us here in this list of seven things he hates, he mentions verse 17, he says, lying lips, or lying tongue. And then down in verse 19, he says, a false witness that speaketh lies. It's so repugnant, he mentions it twice. Of all the things on here, he lists this as twice. And I think the reason that we don't think of it as that big of a deal is because most of the time it's what we're comfortable with doing. We talked about this morning, Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil, and that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, says the Lord. So when I look at this list, I see, is lying really that bad? And we look at the Ten Commandments, and of course, bearing false witness against your neighbor is one of those things listed in the Ten, isn't it? And for us, I know for me, we kind of rank those by worst to best, right? Yeah. Of course, murder is horrible, and adultery is horrible, and having no other gods before me, okay, that's God is God, and He deserves all the glory. And then we get down to the next level, not stealing. Well, okay, we're talking big things, right? We're talking about not stealing cars and stealing from the bank, but a piece of candy here or there, nobody's gonna know anyway. Remember the Sabbath. Well, we're not responsible for the Sabbath anymore. And then not to make a graven image. That's something they do in Japan, not something they do here. So, that's not big that, and then we get down, well, honor your father and your mother. Well, okay. I mean, yeah, of course I honor mom and dad, but they get annoying sometimes. bearing false witness. Okay. And coveting. Well, coveting's not that, I mean, that's a nice Hummer that was out there this morning, whoever brought that in, and necessary for the 2 inches of snow on the road to be safe. I think we should all have one. Right. Y'all wanted one this morning, didn't you? Yeah, but there are the really levels in God's eyes. You see, he lists them all. You see, only to us do we have levels, and usually the ones that we do are not so bad, but the ones that everybody else does, well, those are the ones we're talk about. The Bible tells us, though, that the wages of sin is what?
Death.
And that death led to Christ's death on the cross.
You're right.
How many sins did it take? Just one, right? Any one of these. If all we ever did in our life was tell one lie, it's enough to place a death sentence upon us. And Jesus Christ still would have had to have died for that. You see, if we love the Lord, should we not hate the abominable things that He hates?
Yes.
Should we not love the things that He loves? If we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, will we not see sin as God does?
Yes.
We oftentimes become desensitized by the world that we need to ask the Lord to help us to see it as He sees it.
Yes.
I remember when I was in Bible college, I had... I had not seen a list of the rules that we were supposed to follow. And so I showed up at Bible college, and one of the things was no movies. No movies? I can go to a movie? Okay, well, whatever. I signed my name to it, so we went by it. But that was only for the semester, so then in between semesters, well, now I'm a big dinosaur fan, and Jurassic Park 2 had just come out. So I hadn't seen a movie, I hadn't seen anything for a whole 3 months. And so I went to Jurassic Park 2 in the theater. I was excited. Opening scene, there's all these velociraptors and all these people walking through this field. And then one by one, they started eating all those people. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I was going to. Matter of fact, I felt kind of sick to my stomach. You see, for 3 months, I had been under the Word of God and listening to the preaching and hearing about the need of the lost in the world. And the only thing I could think sitting in that movie theater was, I'm glad this is just a movie, because if this was real, those people would be in hell today.
Right.
You see, we become desensitized by the things in this world, and that we don't see the things that God sees. We don't pay attention to the things that He pays attention to. We don't hate the things that He hates. We make excuses for them. You see, why is it that this is so horrible? Why is it that this is so awful to God? When we look at the very beginning of sin, we look at the very beginning of how things started, where God created a perfect world and created a perfect host of heaven, and everything was honoring Him and glorifying Him as it was intended to do. The book of Isaiah tells us something happened. It says in verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Was that true? Could Satan ever attain to godhood? Mm-mm. He believed a lie and puffed up himself and said, I will be like the Most High. In the garden, that same serpent came and said, "Now, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Was that the truth? Could they attain to godhood? Was it even a possibility? It was a lie. And that lie was believed, and that lie sent the whole of creation into chaos and sin.
Right.
Satan is everything that God is not. In John 8:44, it says, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are of your father the devil. Lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yet God himself is everything opposite of that.
Amen.
You know, there was a time when a man's word was determined, or man's worth was determined by his word. It's not that way anymore. A handshake sealed a deal. Yet today we expect to be deceived. We expect to hear lies from both the lost and oftentimes from the saved as being normal. And that is a sad state. I watched a news article the other day, and it was about a man who had won the lottery up in Wisconsin. And he split it right down the middle and gave it to a friend of his because they had a handshake deal 20-some-odd years ago that if he had won the lottery, they would pass half to the other one. Now, I don't advocate playing the lottery. If you want to have those same odds, give me $50, I'll give you $25 back. You got better success than what you normally would have. But here this man, relying on riches, was honest enough to keep a deal that he made 20 years ago. Where is that kind of reality today? There was a time in this country when a man who was not a Christian could not testify in court because it couldn't be trusted that his word would be true. We expect to be lied to by the government, by the media, by the world, and unfortunately even by those that name the name of Christ. One of the pet peeves I have, and this is probably going to get me in trouble, but when someone says, well, to be honest with you, or to tell you the truth, or I'm telling you the God's honest truth this time. And I'm thinking, so you've been lying to me the rest of the time?
Right.
To be honest with you, we even have, you know, kids are texting, right? TBH, TBTH. I don't know.
To tell you the truth.
Shouldn't we be honest all the time?
Yes, sir.
And we often compare our little lies to the world and think that it's no big deal. And that's why when it's listed twice, we think it's really not that bad, is it? But what about when we look at God and what we compare Him to? In Deuteronomy chapter 32 in verse 4 says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Titus said, Paul, a servant of God, and Paul, a servant of God, and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. John 14:6 speaks of Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:15 says, If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth it him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you.
Praise God.
John chapter 17 and verse 15 says, I pray not that thou should, Jesus praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus prayed for you. I pray that thou shouldst not take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also might be sanctified through the truth. God in His very essence is truth. So if He is a father of truth and Satan is a father of lies, whose child are you? Whose child are you? Are we the children of God? Do we act like the children of God? And do we speak like it? In the Christian life, especially in the ministry, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, we beseech you in Christ's stead." We pray you in the name of God. We are standing in the place of God, Christian. We are God's ambassadors. We are His emissaries on earth. And as people look at us, they ought to see our Heavenly Father. He is a God of truth, and He speaks only truth. We should be the same. We should be the same. How do we lie? We lie oftentimes to ourselves, don't we? I know I gave my testimony a little bit this morning. I lied to myself for many years saying, well, I prayed a prayer when I was a five-year-old kid and I believe God's called me into the ministry and I've got a godly heritage. I have all these things and I kept my... I must be saved because I've done these things other than I must be saved because of who Christ is. I lied to myself. We lie to ourselves when problems happen. We do this. I got this. I can handle this. Oftentimes it's beyond our handling. Somebody lied and said that God won't allow anything to happen to you that you can't handle. That is not true at all. God gives you things that you can't handle all the time so that you'll trust in Him and rely on Him. You say, I'm great at this, I'm good at this. Unfortunately, there were many people that I went to Bible college with that I thought were going to be great men of God, and I heard people would tout them, and oh, that guy there, he's got the Bible down. Oh, he knows his verse. Oh, he's a great preacher, a great expository guy. But a lot of them aren't even in the ministry today. Why? Believing in themselves. Believing they could do all that they were going to do and all the great things that were going to happen to them. Trying to be somebody who we're not. Those of us that are in the ministry, we have to be careful. There was a certain book that we got in child rearing, and I'm not going to name it for you. And the greatest day in my life was when I realized I didn't have to be that guy. My kids were happy too. You see, I don't have to be anything except what God has made me to be. You see, we lift ourselves up, we boast ourselves, we puff ourselves up, and that's exactly what Satan did. It was that pride connected to those lies. And yet, we talked about this morning, by humility is the truth. The only way you're going to come to God and the only way you're going to get saved is when you come to the Lord and say, I'm nothing and can do nothing, and I need you. God uses nobodies. He uses nobodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." God uses nobodies so that when something happens, He gets all the credit. It's okay to be a nobody. It's okay to be just a layman. It's okay just to be a missionary. It's okay to just be what God's made you to be.
Right.
We lie to ourselves. We lie to others. Oftentimes to get out of trouble. I don't even have to ask. Anybody lie as a kid? Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Who broke the cookie jar? What happened? I don't know. Lie to teachers. Lie to our boss. Because we don't want to get in trouble for something that we did. First time I rode a ZTR tractor, I ran dab smack into the corner of a shed, metal shed, pushed it in about 2 feet. The guy asked me, says, you know what happened? Nope. Yeah, I knew what happened. We lie to others to make them think we're better than we are. I'm a super Christian. I've got no problems. I'm saved. Everything's great. Every Sunday morning I come to church, I'm just right with God and I'm happy and cheerful. We think that people have to see something that's not real. Tell people I'll pray for you. Maybe to get the latest gossip. Hey, pray for sister so-and-so. Pray for brother so-and-so. Oh, there, this happened. Oh, yeah, we'll pray for them. And then we never do. To get our way, I had a pastor, and I preach this message up at a Bible college, so a lot of it is dealing towards people in the ministry, because I think above all, people in the ministry ought to be honest. People expect it of us. God expects it of us. I had a pastor that approached me at a missions conference, and he asked me to come to his missions meeting, which is a missionary on deputation. You know, if a pastor comes and seeks you out and wants you to come, you try to get there. And we spent a lot of resources and time getting there and realized it wasn't a missions conference at all. It was a Jubilee meeting. And he had about 8 or 9 other missionaries there. And he told us, he came and told us halfway through, he said, I'm going to give you all 5 minutes. You can preach, you can sing, you can talk about your field, whatever you want, and then I'll schedule you some other time. He just wanted to fill his rows and his pews. I took my 5 minutes. I preached 5 minutes, 2.5 minutes on lying missionaries and 2.5 minutes on lying pastors. Probably in the flesh. No, but really, I was grieved that this pastor would lie to me and I'd spend all that money to get my family there. Now, God took it and turned it around like He always does. But I was crushed more that a pastor would lie to this missionary. We need to be careful for those that are in the ministry and are preaching that we don't lie from the pulpit. For those of us when we're asked a question about the Bible that we don't say, I think this is that and I think this is that, but when sometimes you just need to say, I don't know. It's okay. Someone asks you about the Bible, it's okay to say, I don't know. Well, aren't you a Christian? Yeah. Aren't you a missionary? Yeah, I am. You should know that. You probably should. But I'll tell you what, we can look at it together and see what the Bible says. Praise God. I don't know everything. The pastor doesn't know everything. But we can say, be honest and say, yeah, I just don't know, but I'll help you find the answer. I was preaching one time and I preached and I said something that I knew was wrong when I said it, but it helped prove a point. And then the Holy Spirit bugged me about it for the next 3 years. My spiritual life stagnated because that's something I wouldn't deal with. And I had to call I called as much as I could remember sitting in that meeting 3 years later after the fact and said, hey, you remember when I preached this mess? Yeah, you remember I said this? No, I don't. Well, this is what I said and it was wrong. It was a lie. And I apologize. I ask you to forgive me. God's had me do that quite a bit. You see, when I was growing up, I was a liar. Why is this such an important message to me? Is because I did all the time. I made up stories about who I was, where I was from, and everything. And then once I got saved, it took a while to get it out of me. And I'm grateful the Lord works with us and is gentle and patient and long-suffering. And I had plenty of opportunities to take my foot out of my mouth and go apologize to people as God brought me down to a position of not of pride, but of humility, which I needed. And then, like Ananias and Sapphira, oftentimes we'll lie to God, won't we? John chapter 4 says, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And truth is important to God. Decisions we made at the altar, vows we made unto Him, He remembers those. When you surrender to be a missionary, or you surrender to be in the ministry, or to go wherever God wanted, He still remembers that. When you said you would give up this, or you would stop doing this, and He convicted your heart, and you went back to it, and forgot about it, He never did. He remembers. Songs we sing in the worship service, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, worldly treasures all forsaken, in His presence daily live, I surrender all. There's times when I come into the church service and I have to stop before I sing. Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. And yet oftentimes we don't mean the words, they're just false words. We need to make sure that we're being honest before the Lord, so that when we worship Him, we can worship Him with our spirit and in the truth that He deserves. Maybe we begin to see why God looks at lying and it's a serious issue for Him. I can't remember a time when I heard a message from the pulpit on lying, other than the ones I preached. Maybe it's because Americans just don't think it's that big of a deal. But God does. And if we want to walk in the will of God, if we want to be walking with Him and have the blessings and the fellowship that comes with being a child of His, we need to be honest.